This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. What do three Atlanta-based rappers, a professor from the University of Richmond, and a 50-year-old lawyer from Dallas have in common? No, this isn't the beginning of a bad joke. These men have all stepped up to protect the speech rights of one Taylor Bell, a young man suspended from his high school for recording a song that alleged two coaches of sexual misconduct toward female students. Bell, who raps under the moniker of T. Bizzle, was kicked out of his Fulton, Mississippi high school in 2011 after officials decided that his song threatened the coaches with gun-related violence. The suspension sparked a First Amendment case. It's been clawing its way through the court system, and now the Supreme Court is set to decide whether to hear the case sometime by February, most people expect. Chad Baruch penned an amicus brief in this case aimed at informing the justices about the world of hip-hop vernacular and prose as they ponder whether to take this case. Welcome, Chad.
Thank you.
Well, what drew you to this? You're not exactly a hip-hop scholar, or did I miss something in your CV?
No, certainly not. A couple of things. I've handled a number of First Amendment cases over the years, and that's something I certainly have an interest in. And I was a high school administrator for 15 years. So when I read about Taylor's case, it had a natural attraction for me at both levels.
What did you find yourself surprised to learn? I mean, it's not like you've walled yourself off from popular culture. You know about rap, and I'm sure you're familiar with a lot of its core pieces, right?
Well, not really. A little bit. I jokingly tell people, to me, rap is Run DMC and the Beastie Boys.
Uh-huh.
Because that's just, I guess, my age group. I think what fascinated me was the use of language in rap. This is very sophisticated wordplay, and the sort of playing out often of personal grievances, what in hip-hop they call diss tracks. That was all very, very interesting to me. And then just the sort of the deep roots of hip-hop as a form of political expression, I found very, very interesting. Taylor, the young man who wrote the song, mm-hmm. really is squarely within a pretty deep-rooted tradition in hip-hop of using this music as a form of political expression.
Maybe this would be a good time for us to listen to a little bit of the song that's in question. We're going to have to bleep out some of it, I'm presuming. But here we go. This is T. Bizzle, the song that has gotten him in some degree of hot water.
Heard you dissing number 25, you wanna get it on. White dude, guess you got a thing for them yellow bones. Looking down, girl, shirt drew running down your mouth. F***ing with the wrong one, gonna get a pistol down your mouth. Bow! OMG! Kill some girls in the locker room and P.E. Cut off the lights, you m***ing free.
Now, I have to mention, Chad, one of the things that he says in this song, he talks about putting the gun down the throat of someone here. How do you go about clarifying that in a way that would be advantageous to T. Bizzle here?
Well, I think there are a couple of things you have to understand about that, and I hope that our brief makes both of them clear. Several things, really. Number one, it's metaphorical. I know we're on an NPR station, so I won't go a whole lot deeper than that, but the gun might not be a gun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you think about what these coaches were accused of, there's, I think, some metaphorical wordplay going on here. The second thing I would point out, and we did point this out to the justices in the brief, is that particular lyric about the gun in the mouth is a very commonly used rap lyric. I think we cited four or five different examples of very popular and commercially successful and critically acclaimed rap artists who have used a virtually identical lyric.
Mm-hmm.
So he's borrowing from some of the preeminent artists in the world in that particular lyric.
So is the question really what constitutes an incitement to violence which would not be protected by the First Amendment versus what's a more vague, metaphorical, difficult to pin down kind of speech?
That's an interesting question because it's not even really, the Fifth Circuit didn't really even argue that it was an incitement to violence.
No, we should point out he lost in the Fifth Circuit, just so that people understand.
he won initially, and then they reheard the case en banc, meaning the full court reheard the case, and he lost in a pretty bitterly divided opinion. But it's not really incitement to violence. The Fifth Circuit viewed it as an actual threat of violence toward the coaches, that Taylor was personally threatening the coaches, which in our view is just absurd. Just shows a complete misunderstanding of rap as a means of artistic expression. These were not literal threats. I mean, as one of my partner, Coit Johnston, who worked with me on the brief, said, you know, most people who intend to carry out an act like this don't record a song about it beforehand and release it.
The Fifth Circuit decision talked about the spelling and the syntax of the actual words here. Why was that important, and what do you think that tells you about how the Fifth Circuit saw this case?
It's not important at all in terms of the jurisprudence. It is puzzling that it would be included in the opinion because it isn't important. And it showed me, the very first time I read the opinion, it stood out to me as a glaring example of the Fifth Circuit's complete misunderstanding of this as an art form. And I felt even perhaps disdain for it. As I've said to some people, criticizing a rap song because of grammatical and spelling errors would be a little bit like telling Shakespeare his sonnets are no good because they don't rhyme. It's a complete lack of understanding of rap as an art form.
So if the Supreme Court does indeed determine that this is a case worth review, what happens at that point? Will you be revisiting with a new brief? What happens?
Well, I'm not sure. We certainly would like to. There was a lot we wanted to tell the court that we couldn't because of the limitations. You know, at the certiorari stage, the limits on length are pretty severe, and so we really had to cut down to the bare essentials.
Right.
And we felt like there was a great deal more we could have shared with the court. So I think we probably would welcome that opportunity if we believe it would be helpful to the court. We're not a party. Our role here is simply to try and be of some assistance to the justices in helping them understand something that most of them are probably in a very similar situation to the one I was in before I got involved, which is really knowing almost nothing about rap as an art form. So we're trying just to help educate them a little bit about rap.
Did you ever think you'd be writing a brief like this, Chad?
Never occurred to me in my wildest dreams, but it was incredibly enjoyable just to learn about rap and to see. I'm a writer at my core, and so the really interesting and I think very sophisticated wordplay, I just found it fascinating.
Chad Baruch is a Dallas-based attorney and an appellate law specialist. He's written an amicus brief with the help of several others he hopes will protect the rights of rappers. Mr. Baruch, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.